listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another Catch Them Doing Something Good edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Every Monday from 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to noon, my guests and I will bring you answers and options to raising children today in our constantly changing future. Today, I want to talk a little bit about a different family, and that's our human family. As I'm sure everybody knows, there's been a devastating earthquake in Haiti. I've been contacted by many people throughout the world asking what they can do. They've said some of the television reports say supplies are not able to get in. Some people express their concern that if they send money, it won't get to the right people. Well, I've caught a group of loving and caring people doing something really good. I have on the line Pat Finn, who, with the help of some amazing people, have set up a pipeline complete with air transportation to the Dominican Republic and trucks that will get the supplies directly to the people in Haiti that truly need it. Pat, welcome to Answers for Our Human Family.
Alan, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about this here, as well as for supporting the big event that we had at Agape Spiritual Center yesterday.
Well, and I got to tell you, it was a big event. It was incredible. I know that it was thrown together really, really quickly, and it was absolutely incredible. And it's going to be so memorable. There were things going on that I know I will remember forever. It touched the heart of everything that we are and everything that we want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the things that we do at Agape is really look at what is it that that helps us connect as human beings and where can we make the biggest difference. And our founder, Michael Beckwith, as well as his wife and the head of the choir, Ricky Byers Beckwith, put together an extraordinary event with star-studded singers and the choir. And it was just an amazing emotional experience to really have people realize on an inner prayerful level there's the opportunity to connect with Haiti and to make a difference, but then also to do something about it, to actually not only make dollar donations that we raised over $30,000 yesterday, but also to bring in supplies, which is an exciting part of what I was heading up in the hole in Denver. So
right now, tell us a little bit about that. I know that there is a separate website that they can go to, so tell us a little bit about what they can do to help and how they can do it.
Well, right now the best thing they can do is to go to our website in terms of making a dollar contribution, and I'll also give you a phone number here in Los Angeles where if people want to make either a contribution of medical supplies or if there are doctors or other trained medical personnel who would be interested in going to Haiti to let us know about that too, because that was one of the surprises out of yesterday. We did this fundraising event where we were inviting people to bring medical supplies, but ended up having several doctors and neurosurgeons and orthopedics as well as anesthesiologists volunteer to go down to work at the hospital we're supporting in Haiti. So just a bit of a background, Hope Hospital was something that I had the chance to be involved with in helping build back in the 90s, a children's hospital just right outside of Port-au-Prince, and it is still standing, packed to the gills. In fact, they had to close their gates because they ran out of supplies over the weekend. The director of the hospital desperately made a plea for supplies, and we worked out a system where through the generosity of American Airlines last night, we've got over 21 boxes that made it through Miami to the Dominican Republic of urgently needed medical supplies, and then those boxes are being trucked as we speak across the border and into Haiti. So there's a truck standing by there. So that's one of the pipelines. I understand the government saying, don't send supplies or donations of physical items right now because of the whole backup at the airport in Port-au-Prince, and that's why we went through the Dominican Republic, because they needed these at the hospital. Literally, we'll be saving lives tonight for what people brought yesterday. At Agape, we mentioned in each of the three services, hey, if you can go out to the drugstore or Target or 99-cent store or whatever, buy anything that would make a difference for kids, you know, from Tylenol to Neosporin to peroxide to gauze and bandages, because they're out of everything. Well, the turnout was extraordinary. We ended up, we were hoping to get 10 or 12 boxes to send down to Haiti. We ended up with more than 100 boxes worth of supplies. So those boxes went out last night, and now we're working with a company called Airline Ambassadors, or an organization, I should say, extraordinary people who have now figured out ways to get all of the boxes to Haiti. We're either going in through the Dominican Republic this week, or if the airport's open and we can land planes, we'll be doing it right in Port-au-Prince. But either way, the rest of the medical supplies will be at this hospital by Friday. So that's extraordinary.
It sure is. And to give everybody the visual is that during these services, making the announcement saying that when you leave here, go to the drugstore and get these types of supplies. Not only do people go get supplies, they went and got doctors.
Yeah, exactly. No, it truly did. I mean, we got people who said, hey, I'm going to ask my pediatrician. I'm going to ask, you know, I'm friends with this person who's a surgeon. And we would get phone calls back and volunteers, and just amazing. So Airline Ambassadors has free tickets for us to send a medical crew down there. Gladys said they desperately need orthopedic surgeons and others at the hospital right now, and anesthesiologists. So they're clearing their schedule as we speak this Monday morning, and then are going to get back to us about when this week they can go down, and so we'll send a team from Agape sometime on Wednesday or Thursday down there to be part of the recovery operations or part of the surgical operations down there.
All right. Well, give them, Pat, the website that they can go to. Give them the phone number. And I know that you're busy. I know that you're doing just a lot of wonderful things, but make sure that they have that. And for those of you, if you're driving out there, you can't write this stuff down, you can still go to our website at answers4thefamily.com. Send us a message, and we will forward this information to you as well.
Great. Yeah, there's a website and a phone number. So the website is for the U.S. Foundation for the Children of Haiti, and that's the organization that's for years been funneling the money to this hospital, which also has an orphanage attached to it and a disabled children's hospital and a school, and they just adoption center, and they just do wonderful work. So the you can donate through PayPal on that website, and it's usfch.org. So United States Foundation for the Children of Haiti. So usfch.org. So please make any donation you can there, because it will directly within days be saving children's lives. There's no bureaucracy. Can't say that word, but there's none of that anyway. You know, over 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to the children. So that's one way. The other way is you can call our offices and leave a message, and someone will get back to you if you have suggestions of doctors or physical donations. And that number is 213-481-7400. And leave the message at extension 112. So 213-481-7400, extension 112. And if you're driving and you didn't write it down or you didn't go to the website, you could just look up Rubicon Entertainment in Los Angeles. That's our production office's number, Rubicon, R-U-B-I-C-O-N, Entertainment, and that'll get you to the offices too.
Pat, thank you so much. I just got to tell you, I was so impressed yesterday. I wanted everybody to know. I love what you're doing, and I love everybody that is doing it with you, especially Scotty was wonderful. What a great person.
We should mention Catherine Scott. She was extraordinary. She's the one who's been on the phone with airlines and with charter planes and trucking and just galvanized everybody together. So just a big thank you to her as part of that whole effort.
Blessings to you. Have a great week. Keep up the good work.
You too. I really enjoy your show, and thank you for the difference you're making in so many people's lives. So really appreciate this opportunity to share it with your audience.
All right,
thank
Pat.
You.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right, everybody. Again, that was Pat Finn, and let me tell you, they are just doing some incredible work. Again, if you didn't get that, the website is U as in Union, S as in Sam, F as in Frank, C as in Charles, H as in Henry, .org. Okay? Go to the website. for everybody that has contacted me or emailed me and said, I don't know what to do, or I don't know how to do it, or I'm worried it's not going to get to the right place, this is going to get to the right place. So now, with that said, let me now go to our guest of the day. It is Jeff Haig. Jeff is an award-winning author, educational consultant, and college professor. His area of expertise is helping students reach their full potential in school and in life. His book, Unlock Your Educational Potential, has received 15 national awards, including the prestigious Disney Parenting Media Award. He is the co-founder of Maximize Your Education, which is an educational company dedicated to helping students succeed to their fullest potential. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for having me.
I am so glad to have you. For those that don't know, I've read his book, and my 15-year-old son has read his book. And that was when I knew that I needed to have you on the show. If we can get a 15-year-old to read a book on how to unlock your educational potential, it must be something special.
Oh, great. Thank you.
So, now let me just kind of start with let's back up a little bit to, what inspired you to start Maximize Your Education?
Well, my twin brother and I, Brian, we wanted to provide a roadmap to students to help them get the most out of school, so inside and outside of the classroom. So whether that be study skills, getting A's, to outside the classroom, extracurricular activities, leadership, health and fitness, and so on. So we just made so many mistakes ourselves in the educational system, just like so many students do, that we wanted to provide the tools, the strategies, the skills necessary to help future students not make those mistakes. So the company was based on the premise of providing this roadmap to students and parents to really help them get the most out of school.
All right. Now, what is the mission of that company? I mean, if did you prepare a mission statement, and if so, do you have the mission, the goal that you set out to do?
Yeah, it's a very general mission, but within that, we do have products and services. The mission of it is to really help students to their fullest potential, and that is providing the tools, the skills, the strategies necessary to reach their full educational potential. We focus on college consulting, college admissions consulting, student success coaching. We wrote this book here that provides the roadmap to help students and parents inside and outside the classroom. Many parents are just concerned, or students are just concerned about getting straight A's or just doing well in the classroom, but it goes much beyond that, and it's about developing the skills necessary to be successful in life, and as we know, that goes much beyond the classroom success.
Absolutely. One of the things that I saw in there that I liked was your roadmap to success. Explain a little bit about that to the listeners.
Well, I think it's just knowing, because many students, they go through the educational system blindly or really optimizing the educational system at a fraction of their potential. So students don't have any roadmap when they're going through school. And how do I navigate the classroom to my highest potential? What do I do outside the classroom to really maximize my success? So many students, it's like going to the gym. Many people go to the gym not really knowing how to work the equipment, not really knowing how to get their body in shape. But they're just randomly going through these programs that they think will work, or not even being informed. So what we did was we started this company so we could give students the professional guidance, the roadmap, so that they know how to really maximize their time inside and outside the classroom, so they're prepared for college and they have the tools necessary to succeed in life.
Well, and I like that analogy. That was one of the things that I like, is it's like getting a coach. I mean, it's just like we do in business. I mean, a business coach helps us in these areas. Like you said, when we go to the gym, if you have a personal trainer there, you're going to get a lot more out of it. And so that analogy I thought was great, from the standpoint of, if you're going to have a roadmap, it is going to be the equivalent to you having a personal trainer walk you through these things so that you gain the most out of your education.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Just many students are going through this educational system, again, not really knowing how to maximize their full potential inside of it.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about the difference. I'm sure at the time in which you were starting, Maximize Your Education, there was still traditional educational programs out there. What was different? What did you see that you thought was either not being addressed enough, or something completely different that you felt was going to make a difference?
Yeah, well, there are thousands of educational companies out there, and many of them are wonderful, like Kaplan and Princeton Review, which focuses on test prep among some of their services, and they're great. And there's tutoring companies, but there was really no company that really kind of put the whole thing together in an all-encompassing way, in a way that would provide a roadmap to students inside and outside the classroom. So we have tutoring, test prep, other services, but there's really no company that really addressed the need for, let's providing a roadmap. And that's why we saw a need there, so that's why my brother and I started this company, based on providing that need.
Okay. Now, I know, again, in looking at the website, that college coaching is one of the primary services that you offer. Give us an example, kind of walk us through for some of the people that may not understand what that would entail.
So the final analysis for many students and parents is college success. So college admissions consulting is a growing area right now. And that is basically helping students anywhere from 8th to 9th grade develop a game plan for what they should be doing inside and outside the classroom, all the way up until senior year, when they're filling out their applications, writing their essays, preparing for the interviews, and doing the whole final conclusion that will get them into the college of their choice. So we do this game plan from 8th, 9th grade, all the way to 11th and 12th grade, and then the final analysis would be getting accepted into their colleges. Right now, I just finished with a lot of students, the 12th graders, and we'll find out just in a few months how that turned out. But it's a lot of fun. I love it.
All right. Well, I'm aware of the fact that you're here in California, which would be great, obviously, if I'm going to have my sons go to you. But what about other students nationwide or even internationally?
I do have, most of my students are within a 50-mile radius of Orange County. I live in Orange County, but I consult domestically, East Coast, and I even consult in Korea and China, so I'll fly out there once a year. So it's international, so telephone, internet, and in person.
Okay. Now, and again, you heard earlier we were talking a little bit about Haiti, and obviously it's just a terrible tragedy that's happened there. There are, there are kids in not only in Haiti but in other countries, underdeveloped countries, that really aren't getting, they're not even getting an opportunity for an education. What if anything are you guys doing, or what would you suggest where people can help to get more of these kids in education?
Well, I think, one of the reasons why my twin brother and I started this educational company, because I think all of the problems, most of the challenges on Earth revolve around just becoming properly educated. So if we can get properly educated, then we can know how to get access to water, the resources, how to make things, how to do things. So everything starts with that educational foundation. So my brother and I, we do a lot of pro bono. We'll go out to the community and just do free events. We'll do a lot of guest events where we just go out to the community and offer our services for free, and that's our way of reaching out. I would love to go to another country and help out in some underprivileged country as well, and that's something on my to-do list in the next year or two. But I think it starts with getting properly educated and just providing the tools and skills necessary for at the very early age, so people know how to function better and so that they can make better decisions.
Okay. Well, now I'm someone who was in the our public education system over 30 years ago. How have things, and I'm not saying that you were, but I mean, how have things differed, over a period of time? And do you feel like we are better preparing our kids for college, or is the reason that there's so much more coaching needed because we're not preparing them as well, and they need more of these additional services to get into the right colleges?
Well, if you look at the statistics, the research out there, it's kind of like a train wreck in terms of what's going on in the educational system. So we have tremendous amount of challenges, whether it be, the students with lack who have little resources, to the students who have a lot of resources. So it's just a lot of challenges out there in terms of preparing students for college and then for life success. So companies such as mine supplement or complement the educational system, because frankly, I don't think I know. I'm almost a doctor of education in just a few months here, and I to this day, being a product of it myself, there are many problems with it. It moves at a snail's pace, and I could just list so many things that are wrong with it. So part of the reason why I wanted to start a company was to complement the educational system, because they don't really address what needs to be addressed. So now I can, at least I can come from the private sector and offer my services. A lot of it's free pro bono because I just love giving back to my community and just complement what the educational system is missing and get students ready for high school and college.
Now, is one of the services you provide, is it also to help help navigate through scholarship types of systems? Because, and I've heard, I mean, over certain years, like at one time, Harvard was offering a certain type of scholarship for underprivileged people, for people that can test really high, but yet don't have the financial backing to get in. Is that one of the things that you can help with?
Yeah, I do scholarships as well, and many parents and students don't realize it, but there's just a tremendous amount of money out there, and whether that be the college-specific scholarships to nonprofits like the Gates Foundation Full Rides, to corporations like a Coca-Cola scholarship, to just personal donors, to people who've done well financially who want to give back to students. So there's thousands of scholarships out there. It's just that parents have to, and students have to locate those resources and opportunities and fill out applications. Some of them are just like college applications, and then they'll write an essay or get a letter of recommendation submitted, and then they can get money to help them pay for college. And I know some people who've gotten hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of scholarships. I'm on a partial scholarship, and that was based on the same thing, filling out essays and so forth. But there's just a lot of money out there, whether it be free money or you can't, if you're having trouble locating scholarships, which there are thousands of them out there, you can still get financial aid where you have to pay back or work-study programs. There are a tremendous amount of opportunities for parents and students to fund college. So that should not be an issue. If they think that money is an issue, that should never be an issue, because there's plenty of money out there.
Right. But if what you're also saying is that you can help steer them.
I do scholarships, but there's many. You can do work studies, you can do the traditional FAFSA financial aid, but I help with the scholarships, and we'll help them with their applications, essays, and all that.
All right. Now let me jump to one of the listener questions that came in, which says that my son is a high school freshman. Is it too early to start thinking about college?
No, I actually have a lot of, I guess they're called gunner parents, where they get their son or daughter ready at like 6th or 7th grade. They've got the SAT vocabulary flashcards, and they're preparing for the SAT. So I don't think it's ever too early to start. I think preparing for the SAT at that 6th and 7th grade might be a little too early. But I think the important thing is it's never too early to start preparing your son or daughter to develop the right study habits, develop the right skill sets, skills such as a love for reading, a love for learning, being successful inside the classroom, managing your time, just all the learning, knowing how to do your homework, just all those little basic skills, because you're developing habits. And those should be developed as early as possible at elementary school. So in a sense, you're preparing for college right in elementary school, even earlier, because you're developing those important habits that are going to carry you through junior high school, and then it's going to allow you to shine in high school, in college. So the goal is to get your child on the right track early on, so that they develop those habits so that they can succeed later. And it's just easier to succeed once you're on the right track. If you get off the right track, then it becomes harder.
Well, and speaking of the right track, that really plays right into the next listener question, which is, my daughter did not get very good grades as a freshman and a sophomore. She is now getting A's as a junior. Is that going to be enough, or are they going to hold those grades as a freshman and sophomore against her when she goes into college? Sorry, I'm trying to read this email.
Okay. Well, no, they'll just look at the upward swing, but everything's all relative, you know, compared to what is she trying to accomplish, the parents or her? Does she want to go to Harvard and Ivy League? Then yeah, that's going to, you know, getting strong grades from the outset is important and being in the right courses. But I mean, a common misconception is that parents think it's hard to get into college. But once you get outside the top 30, according to the U.S. News and World Report, and many people go by those rankings, which are, you know, bogus in many ways, but people still follow them. Once you go outside the top 30, it's very easy. Acceptance rates are 70-80%. Sometimes you just fill out an application, you're in college, and some of these colleges are pretty good as well. But to answer that question about her performance, I mean, it's all relative what she wants to do. There's so many factors involved with that, but I think generally speaking, she could still get into a very good college with that performance that I just saw right there.
Okay. Now, another thing, and I've started, again, because I have a 15-year-old, so we've started looking a little bit, and we've talked with some of the people. They're already having the, I guess, the college fairs at his high school. So tell us a little bit about what is important besides the grades.
Okay, well, it goes much beyond grades these days. And I think becoming a well-rounded student, but even more important than becoming a well-rounded student, is developing a particular expertise in a particular area. So strengthen, find what your son or daughter is really passionate about, where their strengths are, and really cultivate and foster that, not only at the local level, regional level, but get it to the state and national level. I've gotten students into the Ivy Leagues and the top schools consistently just by developing a particular talent. I get a lot of students, and many times when they're just well-rounded, they're very good in all areas. I kind of cringe because I know I'll get them in a really, really good school, but it's going to be hard to get them into the top schools because it's much better to develop a particular strength and talent at a state or national level. So whether you're the top violinist, top sports individual, top scientist, science person, I think that's what I would recommend. Become well-rounded, but more importantly, develop a particular expertise and strength in one particular area, and then just really cultivate that at the state and national level. That's what's really going to help.
Okay, that's certainly good advice. Now, one of the things that I've liked that I've heard in going through this is it seems like there's a lot more focus being put on community service. Tell us a little bit more about that, because I was pretty impressed when I heard it.
Well, I think community service is very important, and I think it's just not about trying to fit a particular formula. I think in Stanford, for example, when I talk to their admissions officer, I talk to these admissions officers frequently, and they say it's never about trying to develop a formula per se, and it's about naturally being intellectually curious and developing a love of learning and life, and that will that will play itself out freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year. So you'll naturally want to get involved with helping the community, the homeless, Habitat for Humanity, going to other areas or other countries, getting involved with extracurricular activities, taking leadership positions, doing well in the classroom because you're just naturally passionate about those things. So those are the things that really top colleges or even colleges really want. They want students that really would love to make a difference, and naturally that would play itself out in community service. They would love to give back to the community, and that would play itself out in many areas, inside and outside the classroom.
Well, that sounds good. You know, I'm going to take a break, but give everybody a website, or how can they get the book? If they are interested in getting Unlock Your Educational Potential, is there a website, phone number? What is the best way for them to get that?
Yeah, the best way, my website is maximizeyoureducation.com, www.maximizeyoureducation.com. And my book, Unlock Your Educational Potential, can be found on my website or Amazon or, you know, any of the traditional retail sites, Unlock Your Educational Potential.
That sounds great. We will be back very, very quickly with Jack Haig. With Jeff. We'll be back in about 1 minute.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
All right, we are back. And there's that noise again. Jeff, tell us a little bit about the kids that may not want to go to college. And I know that, as I talk to some of them and what we do and from a transport standpoint, we're taking kids out to programs. We talk to them about, you know, where do you see yourself in 2 years? You know, that type of thing. And we run into a lot of them that say, I have no intention of going to college. I like working with my hands, or, you know, whatever it may be. What can, you know, can your company, Maximize Your Education, help if college just isn't the right call for them?
Well, we still do student success coaching, but I'm for the school thought that college isn't for everyone. And my philosophy is very simple. As long as someone is, you know, being a positive contribution to society, I mean, that's what my philosophy is. But I think we live in a very competitive world, so I think going to college is very desirable. It's a very desirable place to be. Even, and, you know, we're no longer competing domestically. It's global competition. So I think Bill Clinton was stated, and not to get political, but he had a quote that was, he said, you're gambling with your life if you don't pursue a college education. And I really, I believe in that. I think, you know, again, college may not be for everyone. There are trade schools out there. There's people who do music schools and so forth. And if someone wants to become, you know, a fisherman, I'm fine. You know, my philosophy again is just as long as someone's been a positive contribution to society.
Well, and I think that makes good sense. Now, is there something specific, you know, from the standpoint of either the arts or music, or things to where you will help them focus on those particular passions? And is there then maybe trade schools or schools that aren't really, quote, college, but yet they focus on whatever that child's strength is?
Yeah, well, part of what we do is focus on just the tools that will allow students to succeed in anything that they do. I teach a master's student course at the college level, and a lot of the things that we teach are just important for life, such as how to manage your time, how to goal set, how to be a balanced individual, how to read effectively, and that applies to not only in school but in everything. So a lot of the things we talk about, health and fitness, how to become a leader, personal development, how to overcome challenges, and so there's many things that even if you don't go to college, you could really benefit from, because these are life skills. Whether you're doing a college related job or not, these are all important skills.
Sounds good. Now ideally, is there a grade level, you know, that the student should really start applying, you know, the roadmap, should really start thinking about the fact of, this is where I want to be, and this is the direction I want to go to get there?
I think it's never too early to start the roadmap. I think elementary school, just start building the habits to knowing what it's to being a successful child. So just having, I think one of the most important things parents can do, I get a lot of helicopter parents, and the, you know, what that means is parents who are really involved in it, in their child's success, and that's great, but it's sometimes they overcompensate. They really go too much, and it hinders the child's ability to really grow independently. So I think there's that balance of really having the child become develop their critical thinking skills really early, becoming, I think, one of the most important concepts I've learned in all of my educational years is the concept of self-regulation, and that's what my dissertation will be on. It's a concept of being completely responsible for your life. Being, you know, it doesn't matter if I have a bad teacher, I go to a bad school, I have bad textbooks. It doesn't matter because I'm completely responsible for my life. I can make success happen despite these bad circumstances. And I think that's one of the most important, valuable tools I learned out of the whole educational system. Because everybody's blaming, many people are blaming so many different things, which they're right on. They're probably right on with a bad teacher, because I've had plenty of them, a bad textbook, a bad school, whatever. But the bottom line is you're still responsible for your success. So get over it and basically develop those self-regulatory skills where I can be successful given any environment. I can, because I am responsible for my own life. I have the tools necessary to get out there and to find a textbook or just to do whatever I need to do to make success happen. So.
Thank you. I love that. And I think that's really important. It really comes down to them. It is their responsibility, be it if they have the parent that takes very little interest in it, or if they have what you call the helicopter parent that takes too much interest or maybe is pushing too hard, it still comes down to the fact it's their responsibility.
So we can help students really understand that as early as possible, develop those critical thinking skills, like what do you think is the right answer, and have them maybe fail through that and just develop that skill set. I think that's a crucial skill set, because if you develop a child that's completely self-regulated, they're just unstoppable. And that's what my goal would be as a teacher, and you know.
I like it. I want to jump now to another listener question that came in via email. It says, we are in India and would like our children to go to a U.S. college. How would we best go about this?
I do a little bit of an international consulting, and it's basically the same college application process. You just have to show proof of funds that you can afford a college. And, of course, it's a lot more expensive for students living in other countries, so it's usually the fluent students who come over to America. But it's the same process. And, you know, unfortunately, when I work with a lot of students in Korea and China, they don't have a holistic educational process early on, so they're always light on activities and leadership opportunities. They're really strong in academics, but it's basically the same process as a U.S. student.
Okay, now that was interesting. You just mentioned something that kind of piqued my interest, and maybe you can share a little bit more about it. So you're saying that in some other countries, although they may be incredibly strong in academics, they're a little weaker in some areas like leadership?
Yeah. For example, when I have a lot of my Korean students, and they're always light on extracurricular because the Korean community, not to generalize, I love Korea. I lived over there for almost a year, but they're really just focused on academics, and they do very little extracurricular outside the classroom. And so whenever I work with them as juniors and seniors, they're always light with outside of the classroom activities. And so they just can do, I mean, I just have to do the best with what I've got. But Korea, they're you know, for not to single out Korea, but they're now coming to a more holistic educational experience over there as well.
Now, how about social skills? How do we compare to other countries with our kids and the social skills they learn in our college system?
Well, I think one thing great about the American educational system is we are holistic, and we really try to promote that across the board. So students in the American educational system have a tremendous amount of opportunities outside the classroom. Again, there's a spectrum of opportunities, whether a student goes to an inner-city school versus like a Harvard Westlake, which is very affluent and many tremendous resources. But the bottom line is there's many opportunities, and if you can't find them within your school, you can go outside of your community, find them in many nonprofit organizations like Boy and Girls Club, you through your church, and just there are a lot of opportunities. But I think we're doing a pretty, I mean, we can always work on that a lot, but we're doing a good job of providing the resources and opportunities necessary for students to really shine outside the classroom and really develop that that social skill set.
Well, that's good. And I'm smiling, and we're on radio, so people can't see that. But my thought is, how do you deal with a situation where the parent says to you, they set up a coaching situation, and they say, I want my child to go to Harvard, let's say. And then once you start working with the child says, get me into the best party school you can.
You know it's so funny because I deal with a lot of those parents. The parents will come in with their agenda, and I always know where they want their child to go. it's always the top schools according to the U.S. News and World Report. And then I get the child, and they don't really care where they go. They just want to go like where their friends go, or it's a whole different criteria. And I just try to educate the parents as best as possible that it's not about ranking, and I know it's very hard because parents just don't want to hear it. It's not about ranking. There's so many colleges out there that are just wonderful colleges that aren't ranked in the top 50 or top 100 or even top 200. So I just try to really promote the best fit for the child, whether that be a small liberal arts college or a big, 30,000 plus university, if that's what that's where would be a good fit for them. But I really just try to educate the parents, and many times it doesn't work because the parents are set on that list. But I that's all I can do. I can only try to really just tell them and tell them about these great other colleges that would be an amazing fit for their child. And sometimes it works, and the child is very happy. But that's all I can do.
Well, it sounds like what you're doing is you're trying to find a happy medium. Is that about right?
Yeah, I do. It's a battle though. That's one of my battles on a regular basis. The parents' agenda and the child's agenda, and I'm just trying to really educate them on the best fit out there for them and a college choice.
Okay. What's the most common misconception that people have about the college admissions process?
Well, I think it's one that I said earlier, is that many parents think, oh, my son or daughter got some C's and they'll never get into college, period. And again, once you go outside the top 30, again, without ranking, there's many opportunities, tremendous amount of colleges out there that are wonderful college experiences where you can do really wonderful things in life. And they have high acceptance rates. So that's probably the number one misconception. And two is they think that the college admissions process starts senior year, but it really begins way earlier from, freshman year. Parents, it should be a game plan freshman year, and they should have fun in high school, but at the same time realize that what you're doing in high school, you're laying the track, that foundation, that roadmap, that senior year, you're going to have a picture of who you are as a student. What did you do freshman year? What did you do inside and outside the classroom? So when your child gets to be a freshman, you really have to start looking at the game plan. What are you doing inside the classroom? What courses are you taking? What are you doing outside the classroom? Are we really maximizing our summer experiences? Everything. So by the time that senior year comes, you will look like an attractive candidate for colleges.
All right. Well, I've got another listener question that came in that I thought was interesting in the sense that it said my child texts everything. And they've now gotten to the point to where they have horrible spelling and grammar. How is this going to affect, if at all, their getting accepted into college?
Well, the question was, my child texts messages?
In other words, they do text messaging all the time. And apparently what they're saying now is, which I've seen, but I've seen it not just in kids, but in adults, is that people that start texting a lot, because everything starts becoming abbreviated, is that they throw out spelling and grammar. I think what the parent is asking is that are the colleges kind of gearing up for the fact that this is what's coming in with the next generation, or is it something they're saying this is not acceptable and you better fix it?
I don't know if it's really a college acceptance issue per se, because I mean your writing skills will show in your English classes, and then that will show itself, and then through your essay writing, through your application, so they'll get an idea there. But in terms of the text messaging, I've looked at the research on both sides. I just read in Business Week Malcolm Gladwell, he's a world famous, he wrote The Outliers and Blink, and he thinks that there's no, our writing generation is even going to be stronger this next generation, which was surprising to me given our text messaging population. I've read the opposite research as well. But I think as long as students are developing that love of reading, they're reading a lot, they're writing a lot, and they're really conscious of that, then they should be fine. But I think where it maybe goes off track is where students are just, all they're doing, they're not reading and writing and speaking. So they have to be actively engaged in reading a lot, because that's what allows you to write better, and then you just have to write a lot and then speak. They all go hand in hand. So I'd be kind of alarmed if the child doesn't read and write a lot, and they're just text messaging. Then I'd be kind of alarmed. I would maybe take steps to make sure that they are writing a lot. Yeah.
Well, and speaking of reading, what books would you recommend that parents make sure their kids read? Of course, outside of your own, but
yeah,
what books do you think that they can gain a lot of insight and things that will help them as they look towards their choice of a college?
Are you talking about just college admissions books, or just general in terms of getting their reading skills up?
Just good reading skills, good grammar and writing skills. You know, things that will help, and not necessarily a book like yours, which we've already talked about, that will help them with their admissions, but just to improve their overall education.
I think if you go to the canon of the best books out there, all those best books from Steinbeck to Moby Dick, Mark Twain, those are all the best books that we have, and not only domestic literature, but global. If you just stick to those, those are amazing books, Jane Austen. If you stick to those authors and you get a depth of them from different genres, from, fiction, historical, just across the board, I think just don't stick to one section. Go from fiction to nonfiction to different categories, from history to theology, to just to go across the board, great storytelling. Just get a good mix of everything. Make sure they're written by, those esteemed authors, I think. And then your magazines should be, maybe stay away from like the junky magazines, like, it's not like the Us and People, those are fun magazines, right? But stick to like the if you really want to develop your faculty, your mind, then go to the ones like The Economist. I love that. I read about global issues on a regular basis. Time is another good one. Just all those ones, The Wall Street Journal, or New York Times, Business Week, it goes across the board. If you just kind of engage your mind in those types of reading on a regular basis, your mind will just develop in so many amazing ways. And I think we should stay away, have the room for the junk stuff, because that's always fun, maybe 10 or 15% of that. But go to the stuff that really challenges you, where you learn a lot about current events and history and political science and so forth. Great storytelling. And I think just the hodgepodge of all of that will develop your mind in wonderful, amazing ways, where you'll just be a high-functioning individual, and you will just be, it's a great place to be.
That sounds great. Now, what would be some things that they can do to improve their memorization?
There's a lot of different memory books. I've studied this over the years. There's like the Dale Carnegie courses, which helped with my memory, and there's like the Sudoku and those types of games, but the research is inconclusive on that sort of stuff, and actually I just read a research that kind of negated that stuff. But I think anything that just challenges your brain from, chess, I think just staying alert. We do memory exercises in our class. Count 1 to 20, and you kind of do memory games with that. But I think just staying actively engaged with your mind and challenging it and just doing different things, making sure you always grow as a person.
Sounds good. Now yeah. I just looked. We have about 3 minutes. But what tips can you give students and parents for coping with the application stress?
Okay, well, start early. I sometimes get parents and students that start in September of their senior year, or even October and November when the applications are due, December and January. So I would even start probably if you're getting started right with the application, I would start even junior spring year, and the applications are not out, but at least you can see what the last year's essays and application looks like. You can start getting your resume ready, all your activities together, start maybe developing your thoughts with the essay process. All the questions are usually the same with the colleges. There's a lot of different types of questions, but there's about 3 or 4 questions that are usually always asked. And they're always disguised in different ways. Like, one is, why do you want to go to our college? That's disguised in like 10 different ways of asking that question. So you have to really, when you answer those types of questions, you really have to think about, how am I valuable, and what can I contribute to this college to make me a successful candidate? Why would the college even want me? You have to show that you would be a valuable candidate to their college, that you would add value to their major, to their clubs and organizations, and you have to articulate that in very specific ways on the college application. So just to kind of round up that question, you start early, that's probably the first thing I would do, because I get people at the last minute, we just have to kind of slop their application together or just do the best job that we can, because it's a really long, intensive process. But when you only have like a few hours, you can only for 10 colleges, then it gets hard. But start early. That's probably my number one thing, my number one recommendation.
Right. Well, and it sounds like the other thing is show them that you're going to be a value-added part of their school, that you're value-added. And I think that's great. And I want to tell you, I'm glad that you came on. And to me, that's kind of what sticks in my head. And that's what it seems like Maximize Your Education is. It's value added. You guys are value added for each child and putting together their application and getting prepared for this journey.
That's the bottom line is how are you going to add value to yourself to a college so that they'll want you, so they'll give you that admissions letter that says yes, because you have to show them that you're going to add value to their college experience, and you have to specifically share with them how you're going to do that. And that's what the bottom line is.
Great. Jeff, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the show. And again, if anybody, if you didn't get the information earlier, go to our website, answers4thefamily.com. We will get you whatever information you need. Jeff, thank you. Have a great week.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.